Hi, this is Tony Robbins, and welcome to another edition of Power Talk. I'm especially excited to talk with you today. I'm excited every time I have the opportunity to chat with you through these tapes, but I'm feeling especially grateful today. And part of it is I just got done spending the weekend in the largest unlimited power seminar and firewalk that we've ever conducted. What was especially inspiring about it was just to see people for 2.5 days giving 1,000% of themselves, committed to do whatever it would take to grow and to expand as people. And just the amount of love and support that people gave each other over the weekend. You know, I've seen it over and over again, and it still inspires me. So I feel really grateful. And the other reason I feel really grateful this morning is because of a conversation I had with my daughter. On my way over here to do this taping so I could chat with you, I had ideas about what I was going to talk about. But as usual, that got changed right before I got here because my daughter pulled me aside just as I was leaving and said, you know, could I talk to you for a second? I said, honey, I'm just about to leave. She burst into tears. I said, I think it's time for us to talk. And we chatted for 2 or 3 hours and had a conversation that I know will, and she believes, will shape her destiny for the positive, and got the chance to connect. And out of the conversation, I made some additional distinctions that I want to share with you in this taping. So I'm excited to share that with you, and I'm just really appreciative and grateful that you are willing to take the time to listen to the ideas I want to share with you, and that you take the time for yourself, and that we take this time together. So my thanks to you. This month's topic, my conversation with you, is on the power of negative thinking, which may sound a little bit strange, especially if you've taken a look at the book summary for this month, which is with Norman Vincent Peale, and it's on his pioneering classic, The Power of Positive Thinking. But I think really to make your life work, you not only got to know how to maintain a positive mental attitude, but you also have to understand the vital power that negative thinking has, the power it has to destroy and the power it has to build. That may seem a little weird, but as we get into the conversation, I think you're going to find that negative thinking is a two-edged sword. We want to learn how to utilize negative thinking as well as maintain, develop, and strengthen the muscle of positive focus. This month, by the way, if you haven't picked it up already, is kind of a classics version. The personal interview this month is with Dr. Napoleon Hill. And you say, Tony, you've accomplished a lot of things in your life, but to be able to interview him in person since he passed away some time ago, now that's accomplishment. I'm impressed. We've accessed some tapes from the Napoleon Hill Foundation of some interviews that were done years ago, and so you'll hear me interviewing him through the magic of technology. However, I made this a classics issue for a very good reason. First of all, Dr. Napoleon Hill and Dr. Norman Vincent Peale's books greatly impacted the quality of my life. When I was 17 years old, I read both books, Think and Grow Rich and The Power of Positive Thinking, and they've literally shaped my destiny. But they're so basic and they're so fundamental that it's easy to get caught up in the trap of saying, well, I already know that stuff, especially somebody who's read the books many times. I remember years ago, a very successful man I knew who was involved in personal development came up to me one day and he offered me the book Think and Grow Rich. And I looked at the book and I said, well, thanks a lot, but I've already read it. And he said, how many times? I said, well, what do you mean how many times? Once. He said, well, that's obvious. I said, boy, you're pretty soft about it. He said, listen, I've read the book several dozen times. I'm rich, you're poor. That ought to be a clue. He was one of those real soft communicators. But the bottom line is he made a great point, and a point I've not forgotten in my life, and that is repetition is the mother of skill. And something else that I've learned on my own, that too often people hear things so often, over and over again, we hear a basic idea, a basic fundamental, that we begin to take it a little bit for granted. See, knowing something is not enough. A good coach, which is what I endeavor to be here for you and for me, quite honestly, I listen to these tapes when they're done as well to make some good use of them. But what I think what a good coach does, it's not so much that they teach you something you don't even know. It's that they get you to do what you know. And maybe they also point out to you some things you hadn't noticed before. That's what a great coach does. You still have to do the work. And these tapes, these conversations that you and I have together each month, these Power Talk sessions are designed to do that, to stimulate in you the memory of what it really takes to succeed. Because the thing was Socrates who said, learning is remembering. But at the same time that we remember what it takes to really succeed, we got to get ourselves to take action. And again, each one of these Power Talk editions is designed not only to remind you or to give you some new distinctions about how to succeed more quickly in your personal life and your emotions and your strategies and your money and your relationships, but also hopefully to get you to do something. Because there's a very big difference in life between knowing what to do and doing what you know. And that's really what we're going for here. So I thought it'd be really useful to go back to some of that original material. Material, by the way, that was written by two brilliant men. Napoleon Hill with Think and Grow Rich. And so you get a chance this month to hear him and kind of meet him in person, if you will, through our interview, which will be kind of fun. And then secondly, Dr. Norman Vincent Peale. And you know, right now in some circles, it's become really fashionable to discount his work and to minimize the value and power of positive thinking. And even myself, I've almost done that at times, only from the standpoint of not wanting someone to think just being positive was enough. You still got to do your part. You still got to take action. And Dr. Peel agrees with that 1,000%. Some people have distorted his work. But I'll tell you what, it's easy to criticize when you were really using somebody else's material. Or somebody once said, it's easy to look down on a giant when you're standing on his shoulders. And I'll tell you what, he laid the foundation for so many of us. We're all standing on his shoulders, so it's easy to feel like, wow, I know so much now, when he provided for us that base and that foundation. So make sure this month you take a look at that book summary. Don't pass it up. And go pick up The Power of Positive Thinking and make it part of your library. More importantly, read it and use it again and again. As any great textbook, it's something you'll want to come back to over and over again. So let's go to this month's conversation. It's on the power of negative thinking. You might say, Tony, you just complimented Dr. Peel, said how much you respect him. How could you turn around and say that? The power of negative thinking? Well, I'm talking about the power of negative thinking both to destroy and to create. I want to reinforce what Dr. Peel has taught you, and I also want to offer you some additional distinctions that used properly can empower you. Negative thinking can destroy. We're going to talk about that. Negative thinking, if you look at it positively, can also create. Let's take a look at what I mean by that. And probably a good place to start would be to offer you a story. The ultimate human story. You know the story. We've heard it again and again. It's in every ounce of literature, whether it be in drama or whether it be children's literature. It doesn't matter what culture or what background you have, you've heard the story. It goes something like this. An ordinary person like you or me makes a decision, and the decision is to go on a quest, to go on a journey, to do something, something that's going to make a difference. And in this ordinary journey, this person does extraordinary things and becomes a hero. How does it happen? Well, you or I, this ordinary person, set out on this journey. We made a decision. And along the way, if we're real lucky, what do? We meet a very wise man who gives us some magic words or weapons. And thus armed, we travel on to a fairy kingdom or an enchanted castle in some far-off realm. And in seeking to reclaim a kidnapped maiden or a priceless treasure or a holy grail, what do? We battle off the invaders. We fight off all the problems. On our quest, we encounter wonders beyond our description, as well as monsters of 1,000 kinds. But armed with the pure heart and the wise man's power, we slay the dragon, we liberate the treasure, and we return home with the prize. That's humanity's favorite story. You can find it as the plot of tales and myths from every age and culture. Sometimes the hero's name is Lancelot. Other times it's Luke Skywalker. It's the basic plot of the Iliad and the Odyssey, of Dante's Divine Comedy, of Ramayana of the East, of Jack and the Beanstalk, of Raiders of the Lost Ark, of the game Dungeons and Dragons. The appeal, the special excellence of this basic story is that it can be appreciated on many levels, as a simple adventure story or as a description of a spiritual journey. Now tell me, haven't you had the dream? Haven't you dreamed of the person who makes the difference? Who helps everyone, who's loved by everyone, where you help to change the entire community, or your family, or your friends? I think we've all had dreams. The question is, where do they go? See, for most people, they had dreams when they were a kid. They dreamed of these kinds of things. They say, yeah, but that's stories. That's not real life. You know, I went out there in real life, and I got those magic words. I paid for them late at night on television. You know what? And those words came, and I went out and tried to buy that real estate for no money down. You know what? It didn't work. Those magic words didn't work. He wasn't such a wise man. Or the weapons weren't strong enough when people said no. I don't know what kind of story you have, but I know a lot of people had dreams, and they've got all kinds of reasons why when they went out on their journey, when they tried their quest, it didn't work. And a lot of them are legitimate. But you know what's interesting? A lot of people have dreamed and approached their dream over and over again, each time failed to slay the dragon. Fail to come back and win the maiden's hand. Fail to come back and free their friends. And pretty soon they've given up. And giving up is the ultimate danger. The message of the power of positive thinking is a message in belief. It teaches us that we must be able, no matter what the environment, to focus on what we do have, to focus on how to turn things around, to focus on how to make things work. The message of the power of negative thinking is simple. Focus on what you don't have. Focus on how things are not how you want them to be. And certainly you will find yourself unarmed and facing a dragon that is ferocious, one that you know you cannot defend against. And whether the dragon eats you or not, you'll still feel the pain as if he had. What do I mean by this metaphor? Well, I got a question for you. Those who slay the dragon, those who free the maiden, those who come home to the joy and happiness that they dreamed of, what do they all have in common? What do all these ordinary people who become extraordinary by doing extraordinary things have in common? Well, one might say they were positive thinkers, without a doubt, and I would have to agree. But what does that mean? The bottom line is we read the stories of people who find out what resources they really have, because they're able to get themselves to be confident where other people are fearful. Really, what is the power of positive thinking? It's the power of faith. It's the ability to generate a feeling of certainty in yourself when nothing in the environment supports you. See, every great achiever I know, I don't care who it is, whether it be Lee Iacocca or my daughter Jolie, anyone who makes a difference, anyone who contributes, anyone who produces a quality of life, a result that is measurable, that other people aspire to, all these people have something in common. They're positive thinkers. You want to be a hero? Learn to create certainty in the face of fear. What is negative thinking? For most people, the power of negative thinking is the power to destroy. The power of negative thinking is really the ability to allow yourself to operate from fear instead of faith. And that is when your life falls apart. Out of fear, most people constantly focus on the worst that could happen, anticipate it in advance, and thereby try to avoid even participating in something where they may not end up on top, where they may not achieve, where they may not be able to make things work the way they've dreamed them. But see, the greatest way in the world to never achieve your dreams is to never take the first step. The greatest way in the world is to make sure you create nightmares about your dreams and allow those nightmares, your fears, to slowly eat away, to cut away at your courage, your power, your decision, your ability to move forward. And I got to tell you, I think most people in our society have learned to become negative thinkers. For most people, they've given up on their dreams. The kingdom they were seeking is too far away now. And the land they were pursuing is far beneath the waves, a place they'll never be able to reach. It's too deep. It's too far. And you know why people have taken this attitude? It's not because they don't care. It's not because they don't want to dream. It's because so many people have had dreams and they've tried and they've tried and they've tried and they've quote unquote failed in their mind to achieve. And so, you know, there's something interesting about the human brain. We've talked about it again and again in our personal power series and again in these Power Talk tapes. And that is that the human brain is always working hard to avoid what? Pain. And it's always trying to gain what? Pleasure. Now, after failure, trying and trying and trying and it not working and not working and not working, what some people link up is, boy, getting excited, really going for it equals pain. So I better not even try. I better stay right where I am because at least I know how to deal with that. And what happens is we have extraordinary people that settle for mediocre lives. So you don't want to fall in that trap. And it's so easy, isn't it? Haven't you failed there at least some point in your life where you felt so jaded and so frustrated and you tried so hard and you gave your all and it still didn't work that you felt like, why even try? I certainly know I have. I began to adopt the power of negative thinking, the power to destroy my life, and it didn't take long. It took me about 120 days to destroy everything I'd worked for 4 years to create. It doesn't take long when you indulge in that practice. It only takes a little bit of poison to kill somebody. You don't need to drink 6 gallons of strychnine. Just a sip, and it's over. We got to make sure that every day we stand guard in our minds and make sure we're directing our minds rather than just falling for whatever is dumped in it by the environment around us. It's critical. Because what we think about daily is what's determining how we feel, what actions we take, and therefore, each day, what we think about is shaping our destiny. And you know what's scary? Sometimes the poison is offered by a friend. I think it was said best by my good friend, one of my original teachers, a man named Jim Rohn. If you ever get a chance to hear Jim, I hope you'll take the time to go listen to him speak. But Jim used to have a great thing. He said to me, he said, Tony, you know something? Every day, you got to watch your mind. You got to watch what's getting in there and watch who you surround yourself with because friends can poison you. I thought, that's kind of harsh. He said, but look, Tony, he said, look, if you got a cup of coffee here, and he said, your worst enemy comes by and puts some sugar in your coffee when you're not looking, what's going to happen? I said, well, I don't drink coffee, but if I did, I guess it'd be pretty sweet coffee. He said, that's right. He said, what if your best friend, even by accident, drops a little bit of poison in your coffee? I said, I'd be dead. He said, that's right. Lesson one, watch your coffee. Right? And he said, lesson two, make sure when you're watching that coffee that you put in it what you want. You don't let other people do it for you. We've got to watch our minds. And I'll tell you what, if we don't, you got to realize that gravity is constant. If you don't every single day try to put something positive in your mind, something that's going to build, something that's going to help you to construct a greater quality of life, if you don't do that consciously, what will the news provide for you? What will the environment around provide for you? Gravity is constant. Negativity is constant. We must resist it in order to have the muscle and the will to shape the quality of our lives. Now, I'll give you an example of where I think our society's gone. I surround myself with so many positive people, sometimes I forget. But all I have to do is turn on the TV to find out the reality. Or like an experience I had recently. You know, our television show, Personal Power, is the most successful infomercial in personal development that's ever been done. It's broken all the records, and we're really proud of it. But recently, I thought, okay, we're going to come out with a new show, and I want to make sure we reach even more people. So why don't we do a focus group? Why don't we bring in a group of people who don't know who we are, and let's have a professional moderator find out what they really think of our show. Are we reaching them or not? How can we get through to more people? So that day, I went up to Marina Del Rey, sat down in the back of this room behind a mirror. Nobody knows we're there. And I watched this moderator interview approximately, 13 people. Amazing lessons. Because quite honestly, based on the response we've had to our show, I figured, hey, they're all going to love the show. Not quite like that. When the moderator interviewed them in advance, one guy happened to mention, when they asked about personal development information, if they were ever involved with like seminars, anything like that, one gentleman mentioned that he had been to a seminar, and not mine, somebody else's, and listened to some tapes, and you should have seen people jump all over this guy's case about how, what is he, dependent upon somebody else, and how other people said they didn't need it because they were already confident and they were already balanced. It was amazing. It was amazing the amount of emotional negativity they had towards this man. Then they asked, well, have you heard about Tony Robbins? Well, one person in the group of 13 had heard about me, read my book, was very enthusiastic. Other people were kind of bothered by that. So then they showed the film. Well, after showing the television show, the response was rather amazing. We had everybody, first of all, fill out a piece of paper, and on it, it had a drawing of some people talking. And it said, before we talk about this as a group, these people you see on this paper are talking about the show you just watched. Please write down what they're talking about. And then we gave them a chance to score myself and other people on the show in terms of their sincerity and their vitality and passion, etc. Well, it was amazing. I got really high scores. And so I assumed that when the conversation started, they'd be terribly enthusiastic. They were not. One man stood up and said, I love them. I want those tapes. This seems fantastic. It seems different than everything else. As soon as he did, you can imagine what happened. A bunch of people just thumped all over this guy's head. What are you, crazy? Don't you know these people are just trying to rip you off? They're just trying to make money off you. This is a total scam. And they went on and on and on about how if he was going to do this, he was going to get ripped off. Well, the moderator said, well, what do you mean? How can you say it's a scam? They said, well, look, all those people on there talking about the results, they're all paid for their testimonials. Those people are just saying that because they're paid to say that. That isn't really what happened for them. You can't believe it. Out of 13 people, about 7 of them thought they were all paid for. Not one of our testimonials is paid for. The moderator said, but wait a second. He said, how could he get ripped off? If he gets the tapes and he doesn't like them, he can send them back. There's a money-back guarantee. They said, yeah, but you'll never get your money back. That's a total scam, too. That's a total lie. There's no way. They went on and on and on. They said things like, well, if this guy's so successful, why is he teaching other people? Why doesn't he just keep it for himself? And I thought to myself, this is amazing. I had no idea people thought this way. If I had been intelligent, I guess I would have realized it because that's how I used to think. Which, by the way, was also ironic. One of the ladies there who was real emotional talking about how this must be a ripoff, she said, yeah, that guy Tony Robbins, I believe he's sincere, but he's a liar. And I thought, what? How can you be sincere and be a liar? She goes, well, he's sincere, and I think he really cares and all that stuff, but he never lived in a 400-square-foot bachelor apartment in Venice. Which, by the way, we did this focus group about 10 minutes away from where I used to live, 2516 Pacific Avenue in Venice. Pretty amazing. Bottom line is, she went on and on, and she was so intense, and they were so angry and so upset, and they never even met me or knew what I was doing. And I was taken back. But then after getting taken back, I got really curious. I thought, what is this dynamic? Why are these people so emotional? Well, the moderator worked with them for almost 2 hours. And after conversation, after conversation, after conversation, going to each one of them and saying, well, you wouldn't see any value in these tapes for you at all? And this one gentleman who's a little older said, no, I'm retired. Now I'm happy about it. He put a terrible frown on his face when he was saying this. And I thought, this is amazing. So sure enough, after a while, he said, well, what would convince you these tapes would be worth at least listening to and then sending back if you didn't want them? I said, I don't know, we need some real evidence that works, not some paid testimonials. So he said, I think you guys need real solid evidence. He said, I'll be right back. So sure enough, he walks out of the room, comes back into the next room next to me and says, you want to talk to these people? And I said, well, no. I said, no, I'm just kidding. I said, I guess so. I said, well, these guys are pretty mean. He said, yeah, but he said, it might be fun. I said, okay. So sure enough, I walked in the room. You should have seen the state change in the room when I walked in there. It was amazing. They were like, it's him. This other guy didn't notice us there. And the person kept nudging him. It's him. It's him. It's him. And I sat down and they all kind of like gasped and said, oh, hi. And they smiled and they're really, really nice to me and stuff. Are they just beating me up, on my show up pretty intensely? And I said, I want to thank you all for being here. I said, because you just gave me an unbelievable education. See this mirror over here? I've been behind this and I've been looking and listening to all you've been saying. And fortunately, I don't take it personally. I said, but I had no idea people could be this pessimistic. Everything I said on the show, all those people you saw, they're all sincere. Nobody there is paid for their testimony. The bottom line is they're all sharing because they got results. And I said, I am absolutely sincere. And I turned to the woman who had said I never lived in Venice, and I said, 2516 Pacific Avenue, apartment 3A. Check it out on your way home. It's only 10 minutes away. She kind of looked at me and kind of like shook a little bit. I said, but you know what? I said, I needed to see this. I needed to hear you guys' response to this because my goal is to reach more people. And I said, you know, some of you said I'm doing this to make money. I said, you're absolutely right. I'm a businessman. I make money. But I get to do something I love to do that makes a difference in the process. And I said, you know, if I wasn't making money, it means I wouldn't reach any more people. So yeah, certainly I want to do well. I said, but I really want to impact people. And I'm not impacting you guys. You're not hearing my message. And I'm making money without that. I want to reach you. Help me. How would I reach you? And it was just amazing. They said, well, you know, tell us more about what you do. And I told them what I do, and I told them why I do it and why I'm involved in it. And sure enough, within about 5-10 minutes, they're going, well, this is what you should do. You should be on that show more. Don't have those testimonials, and you should tell us these things because you're really great. We really like you. Right? And I'm going, but I'm the same guy as on the camera there. I'm the same guy on the screen. They go, yeah, but it's different having you here in person. Then we know you're real. You're not like all those other scams. And they kept talking about all those other scams. And I listened to that. And the one man who said, you know, he was retired and he wouldn't do this. I said, would you never get some tapes like this? He said, well, I would have got them years ago. Years ago, I used to get tapes all the time. I used to go to those seminars and stuff. He said, man, I give my all and it wouldn't work. Wouldn't work. He said, finally got tired of trying to give my all. I don't need that. I'm happy the way I am. Put this terrible scrunching look on his face. And I thought, you know, that's interesting. This man kept giving. He kept trying and it didn't work. And I got it. These people, why were they so emotional, so angry about trying to prove this stuff wouldn't work? And I finally realized what it was. These people have been disappointed so many times that now they're deathly afraid of getting excited because their brain says, man, if I get excited, I'm going to take a fall. If I get excited, if I get all pumped up and real jazzed and everything else about this thing, then what's going to happen to me is what's always happened to me. It's not going to work out, and I'm going to look like a fool. I'm going to tell my friend about this great business opportunity, and then the company goes under, and then my friend's going to hate me forever. Or this guy's going to get me thinking I can really succeed, and I'm going to go out there and make some investment or put myself on the line or really stretch myself, and then I won't pull it off. I'm really going to fail then I'm going to really feel lousy, so I'll just stay right here where I am and not do anything and watch my life drift away. You know, I turned to these people as I listened to them talk after a while, and I said, you know, I paid to have you be here, and you don't have to take anything from me. I said, and you can get up and leave at any time, but I said, I think the real reason you guys didn't order these tapes is not because you didn't believe in the guarantee. I don't think it's because you thought these other people were lying. I think it's because you guys are afraid to get excited. I think it's because you've been disappointed so many times, you've given up. I think the real reason you didn't buy these tapes is you don't believe in you. And I looked around the room, and of 13 people, about 11 of them are shaking their head yes, and the other two are kind of going, I don't know if I agree with you. I said, you don't have to agree with me. I said, but what do you think? And you know what? Several of them said, yeah, you're absolutely right. In fact, right after my focus group, they did a focus group for a health product, a health and fitness product, a diet product. And this one woman who had been so against me, so negative when she saw my television show, they said, would you use this diet product? She said, no. She said, because, you know, the truth of the matter is I wouldn't succeed at this until I used something like Tony's product and I learned to love myself more. I thought, what? You know, unbelievable. Totally different view. And what was interesting is we were almost out of time with these people. And I said, you know, I've kept you longer than we're supposed to. And I'd like to spend another 20 or 30 minutes with you. I'm willing to pay you for the time, or you can leave, or I'd be willing to give you a set of my tapes. I'll give you a set here instead. And guess what? Out of 13 people there, guess how many people said they wanted the tapes? Every single one. Only one had said he wanted the tapes before. Others had written down they wanted the tapes, but when everybody else told them how terrible it was to get tapes, they didn't want to take a chance. They didn't want to take a chance of getting other people upset with them in the group. And out of the 13, though, I only had 12 sets of tapes with me. So I said, one of you can't have the tapes right now. Who here would be willing to wait to get the tapes? And the older guy said, well, I'll wait to use them. He said, because, you know, I probably can't benefit that much from them anyway. What was really fun, by the time I was done speaking, I got a chance to really chat with him. And as I left, the older gentleman who said he was going to wait for his tapes fought with another woman to get the last set of tapes. And this woman who really wanted them had to wait because this guy took these tapes and went. I got several things out of this experience. One is I got an eye-opening experience. And what I first got to see is just how negative, how conditioned, how pessimistic, how skeptical just a general group of Americans picked at random are. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. Second thing I got that was exciting was I saw why people would be negative. See, I never understood why before. I thought, well, they're just being negative. You know, I make people wrong for that because I work so hard at being positive. But you know what? You don't want to make somebody wrong. That doesn't make it better. I realized they were negative out of their fears. That when somebody is negative, it's because they're fearful. It's just like when somebody's got a big ego and they're throwing their ego all around. What they really are is insecure. These people, out of their fear, because see, they tried things that didn't work. They've had a lot of references, experiences where they tried something that was painful, that pretty soon their brain now is linked up. Boy, if you get excited and you really go for it, you're just going to be disappointed anyway. If you get excited, you're going to get pain. And that's why they were so emotional about making this thing wrong. They didn't want to get excited because they're afraid to get excited. They're afraid what that would mean to them unconsciously. But you know what else I learned out of that meeting? I learned, based by the older, mature guy, that you know what? Everybody still wants to dream. Everybody still wants to make it happen. Everyone still wants to slay the dragon and be the hero by doing ordinary things extraordinarily well. Everybody wants that. And everybody somewhere in their gut still believes it. And they're waiting for somebody to come along and kick them in the tail or show them it's still possible or get them to dream and be again, to take a few actions. And I really got more reinforced in my mission and what I do. And I relay the story to you to remind you of what kind of environment you live in, number one. You're obviously pretty darn positive to listen to this tape, and you obviously are taking steps to feed your mind with something positive. And each month, I can promise you, you'll have an idea or two, at least one or two things that you either already know and it'll reinforce it so you use it, or something you never heard of on these tapes. You can count on me for each month, a stream of some good stuff, stuff you can use, something that'll make your life just a little bit stronger if you're willing to apply even a little bit. And through repetition, it'll cause you to begin to do it unconsciously without having to be aware of it, without having to even think about it. That's part of our goal in being here. But also, I tell you the story so you understand if someone around you is being negative, they're not wrong, they're not bad, they're not a negative person, they're fearful. And you don't want to be one of those people. Hey, what are the consequences, though, of being negative? What are the consequences of looking for what's wrong instead of what's right? The consequences are the destruction of your dreams. The consequences is giving up on everything you could possibly want in your life. And the scary part is so many people in our society have been conditioned to think this way that I think it's affecting the structure and quality of life in America. That might be a pretty big claim to make, but think about it sincerely. As long as people believe that dreaming equals pain, that their future is the same as their past, then that's exactly what will be true in their life. Pretty soon what happens is it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. We get what we look for. If you want to find something dirty in your room, look around, you can find it. You want to find a problem in yourself, you'll find it. You want to find a problem in somebody you care about, you'll find it. It's not hard. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. If you look for the bad, you'll get more of it. You look for the good, you'll have that too. But we've got to be careful about the conditioning. But again, what's made us as a society become so conditioned to the negative? Besides the media, what else is there? Well, we hear in the media and we've been shaped by a series of negative references. Painful experiences that have taught us, boy, if you really believe in someone, if you got a hero, if you believe in your country or a key person, you're going to have your beliefs shattered, your emotions destroyed. All that you've invested will not come back to you. You will lose it all. So quickly protect yourself. Don't get too excited. Don't get too happy. Don't expect too much. In fact, the lesson seems to be today, expect very little, and that way you won't be disappointed. Be quote unquote realistic, which is nothing but a fancy word for saying be negative. Look for what's wrong. Try to find something wrong in advance. It's one of the most destructive forces that can enter our lives. But why are we that way? What's happened to awaken America from its innocence of the 50s? John F. Kennedy was assassinated, then Martin Luther King, then Bobby Kennedy. Progress towards limiting discrimination and racial bigotry became painfully slow compared to what we expected. We went through the scourge of Vietnam, the Watergate scandal, Jim Jones. Then in the 70s, the hostages were taken to Iran. We had double-digit inflation, growing unemployment. And then we got to sit down in an oil crisis where we sat for miles waiting to get gasoline. Right at the peak of the negativity, right when people just about given up, something interesting happened. We threw our pendulum one way and somehow we had tried to balance it. And one way we may have tried to balance it is we hired a guy. We recruited a guy. We voted him in. His name was Ronald Reagan. And while Reagan certainly wasn't the source of the shift, he certainly became one element in making us look at life in another way. And I think we put him in that position because we needed him at that time. Ronald Reagan was an optimist. Ronald Reagan was a positive thinker. Ronald Reagan had references throughout his life that, hey, looking for what's wrong is not going to do it. I got to find out what's right and amplify what's right. What doesn't work, I just need to get rid of it as quickly as possible. And he came from that simple approach, and he changed the way a lot of Americans looked at themselves. He changed the way we looked at ourselves as a nation. The day that he was inaugurated, they released the hostages from Iran. And there was a new surge of optimism and possibility. We began the best economic run in our history, and patriotism was once again fashionable. And then came the drug problem growing wild, now even reaching the grade school children. Then there was corruption and scandals. See, after a decade of things like that, those kinds of experience, a lot of people say, why even try? If you believe in anything, if you put yourself on the line, if you try and learn something from someone, you have somebody who's a hero, that hero's just going to disappoint you. You better not have any role models because they're just going to hurt you. Make sure you pick an anti-hero. That's the only way to really succeed. But there are other things that we've learned, other resources we have. So in order to be negative, we have to generalize. We have to look at what doesn't work. We have to focus on that enough till that becomes real. The reality is you can walk into a room with a camera and a party, and if you focus on the corner of the room where people are fighting, where things are horrible, where people are mean, boy, that was one mean party. But if you go in that exact same room and you look through that camera, but you focus the camera on the opposite end of the room where everybody's having a great time, people are loving and contributing, you're going to say, what a wonderful party. The same is true of your life. The same is true of the nation as a whole. Do I say we should become naive and just trust blindly? No. What I suggest is we have balance, that we use the power of positive thinking and the power of negative thinking. You say, you keep alluding to that, Tony. What does that mean? Here's what I mean. Here's how we deal with our life in a way that I think is intelligent and works. Step number one in life, see life as it is. And I say, see life as it is. Here's what I mean. See as it really is. Don't make it worse than it is and don't make it better than it is. Just see things as they are. To the best of your ability, it's still not going to be accurate. But look at things. You got to notice where you are. But don't make it worse than it is, because all that does is make you feel overwhelmed and want to give up. Step two, see it better than it is. Use the power of positive thinking. That is, develop a vision in your mind of how you want things to be. Get clear about what your goals are. Get clear about what that dream is. Get real specific. And with that precision, with that power, with that vision, when things get tough, you can look at that vision and you'll know what you're going for. It'll pull you through the tough times. And step three, make it like you see it. Take your world from where it is and make it like the vision you have. You can't get stuck on the past. You can't get stuck on what used to be done to you or someone used to disappoint you. That's a great way to make sure you never go for it. Classic example, lady in one of my seminars one time. She raised her hand, I asked people, what do you want? She goes, well, I like to be closer to my husband. I used the precision model. I said to her, well, what prevents you from being more close to him? She goes, well, I don't know. I said, well, if you did know, what would you say? She said, well, you know, I'd like to be closer to him, but, you know, he just never seems to be close to me. I said, ma'am, what would you need to do to be closer to him? She goes, well, I don't know. I guess I'd have to just treat him better. I said, well, why don't you do that? She goes, well, I don't know, because if I treat him better, he may not treat me better. If I'm really loving to him and I give my all, he may not give his all. I said, so great, ma'am, if you never give 100% to your husband, 1,000% of your commitment, of your love, why should he ever give 1,000% to you? She goes, well, I'll meet him halfway. It'll never happen. See, the way to make a relationship work is not to meet somebody halfway. You got to give 1,000%. If you give 1,000%, you're creating the place for them to have 1,000%. Out of her fear that he may reject her or that she may give her all and he may leave her anyway, she doesn't give him enough to make him want to stay. And the relationship will end. Our fears, whatever we focus on, we get. We got to break out of that. See it as it is. See it better than it is. Make it the way you want it. So let me give you 5 steps to really utilizing the power of positive thinking, even though I said this is about negative thinking. And then let me show you how to use negative thinking in an assignment, how to make negative thinking something that's useful for you. So step number one, decide to develop the habit right now, the habit of focusing on what's right in your world instead of what's wrong, the habit of focusing on what you do have instead of what you don't have in a situation. And as basic as that is, and as well as you know it, you've got to make it a habit, because those habits form the chain of your ultimate character, of who you become and how you end up living your life. We've got to condition ourselves, because if we don't, we'll go back to the automatic state that most people live in today's society. The way to develop the habit is to go on a mental diet. I did this several years ago. As positive as I was, and I was going through unbelievable pain at the time. I'd had some major disappointments, some frustrations. I felt like I'd given it all. But what turned me around is one day I picked up this book called The 7-Day Mental Diet. It was a little tiny little booklet. And all the booklet really did was, for about 12 of the 14 pages, it challenged me to really see if I could really truly, for 7 days, live my life without one negative thought. And it kept saying throughout the book, now don't just say, yeah, I can do it, and don't just say, I'm going to do it. Think for a while before you commit to this. Don't actually commit unless you're really going to do it for 7 straight days, no matter what. It doesn't mean you don't have a negative thought. It just means that if you have a negative thought, you don't speak it. You set it aside. You forget about it. Or you replace it. If you say something negative, you go erase. What I really mean is this. Or you say, that's not what I mean. Here's what I mean is this. And you immediately focus on something good. It's not that nothing negative ever comes out. It's that you immediately do not allow yourself to hold a negative feeling, a negative thought for 7 straight days, day and night, even when it gets tough, Even when somebody disappoints you, even when you get frustrated, even when you give your all and it still turns up lousy. Listen, if all I did was rant and rave on this tape and you didn't listen to anything else I said, but you took on this 7-day challenge, you can't believe what it'll do to your life. Now, I got to tell you, when I first read the book, I thought, wait a second, being positive isn't going to change my life. I got to deal with the real problems around me, those real challenges that are out there. I don't want to just be positive. Somebody says, how's it going? I go, oh, I'm doing great. And they go, why? You go, I don't know, but I just feel good. I don't want to be that way. I want to be real. I want to be on top of things. But you know what? I thought, wait a second. I can be positive about solutions. I can still notice that there's some challenges out there without being negative about it. I can look at the challenges and say, okay, here's what's good about this. Here's how we can use this. Here's how we can turn this thing around and continue to focus on that. So I took on the challenge for 7 days, changed my life. Now, by the way, one of the keys is you have to have 7 straight days of being absolutely positive. Not one negative thought, not one negative expression that you hold on to. Got to let go of it immediately. If you do not do this, if you're 3 days into it and you do well, and then you have a bunch of negativity, you got to start over. And you know what? After you go about 4, 5, 6 days in a row doing really well, something major negative is going to happen. How's that for some positive programming? But what it is a test to see how committed you really are. I'll tell you something. After 7 days, you feel like a different person. People around you respond to you like you're different as well. This is going to be one of your assignments for this month, the 7-day mental diet. All you want to do is establish the habit of noticing what you do have instead of what you don't have. Noticing what's great about a situation versus what's not great. Focusing on solution instead of problems. That's what changes your life. Here's key number 2. Instead of judging yourself and others, decide, remember these are decisions, decide right now to become curious instead of judgmental. We've talked about this in previous tapes a little bit. But remember, when you find fault in other people, when you start noticing constantly how they've wronged you, how this person is not good enough, or they're too egotistical, they're too proud, or they don't really care about people, as soon as you start judging other people, you just got to remember something. If you start judging other people, you're going to also start judging yourself intensely. If you're angry at other people, there's a very good chance you're angry at yourself as well. Maybe you need to perceive more and judge less. Maybe instead of finding fault with other people, without really thinking about what they've gone through to be where they are this day, maybe we can get really curious about what's making this person be in the state they're in, or what's the motivation behind this person's anger. For example, a lot of times we think somebody's being negative or angry or we're frustrated with them, but we never bother to find out what's really going on. I know myself, I was at a party recently and I fell prey to this. There was a woman who came to the party. Everybody behind her back was talking about how unbelievably egotistical this woman is, how negative she was. But you know what? I sat next to her at dinner time and I got a chance to really find out who she was. I got curious about her. And I began to find out about all the pain she'd been through in her life when I realized was this woman was just barely hanging on to her life. She just needed to know that people cared, but she was so afraid of being rejected that she put out this ego because she didn't want someone to reject her, so she figured she'd reject them first. And I got a chance to really know her, and she was a wonderful person. I'll tell you something else we've got to be careful of that ties in with this, of our being judgmental. Out of our fear of having heroes in our society today, we seem to try and consume them and destroy them as quick as we can. We try to find something that's wrong with our heroes because, boy, we don't want another Jim Jones. We don't want another Jim Baker. Remember, we got to judge less, perceive more. We got to get curious. Instead of living in a society where we're so afraid to believe in anything or anyone that we believe in nothing at all, and we lose our power of positive thinking. We try to protect ourselves from things we maybe not even need to protect ourselves from. Or we live in a society where we try and destroy our heroes, where we take somebody like Barbara Walters, incredible broadcaster, a woman of incredible integrity, who gets nailed by one person in a book, and it's in every newspaper across the land, how she probably stomped on people to get where she was. That's absurd. Or Martin Luther King, after he's passed on, somebody comes back and stomps all over his career and his reputation. Is that the society we want to live in? Any person who takes glee in watching another person's pain will experience plenty of pain themselves. Remember the quote, he was without sin, let him cast the first stone. The bottom line is if you go looking for brown, you're going to find it anywhere you look for it, in others or yourself. Free yourself from the disease of making others wrong, and you'll free yourself from the disease of making yourself wrong. You have a lot more energy to create solution instead of problems. It's part of the power of positive thinking instead of falling for the destructive power of negative thinking. If you want to get curious, just ask yourself, what do I like about this person? Wonder what's going on with this person that would make them feel this way. How could I help this person? As you ask these kinds of questions, you may learn something about how human beings operate, about their motivations, maybe even some things about how to support yourself as you try to support others. Remember, get curious instead of judgmental. Here's key number 3. If you really want to develop the power of positive thinking as a habit, as a lifestyle, as a strategy for success, then decide right now to find something to appreciate from any seemingly negative person or situation. and develop the habit of giving compliments. See, if you really want to have some more positive feelings in your life, you got to keep focusing on what's right. You got to get curious. And most importantly, you got to find something to appreciate even in the tough times. Because in reality, as we've talked about so often before, the toughest times in your life sometimes provide you with the real resources to change your life. So what we've got to do is find something to appreciate. Not someday when things work out. We got to appreciate where we are right now. And this is something I talked to my daughter Jolie about today. Because she's in an experience today where I thought, well, gosh, she's not being very positive. And I'm going to talk about positive thinking. Because she came in to see me and she's feeling really sad. She's feeling really down, feeling really frustrated. And you know what her problem is? Her problem is she tried out and won the right to be amongst three girls who dance in the Electric Light Parade at Disneyland. She's been going there after school every day, driving from San Diego up to Anaheim, burning herself into the ground, getting up and going to school to be a straight-A student still, and trying to visit with her family and her boyfriend. And she found herself maxing out. Now think about her problem. Her problem is that she gets to be at Disneyland and fulfill a childhood fantasy. Her problem is that she loves her family and wants to be with them as well. Her problem is she loves to be at school and really do that. Her problem is she has so much abundance that she has to figure out how to get it all in one day and she can't do it. And she's physically burning out. That's her problem. And you know what? She says, gosh, I want to be home. I want to be with you guys and all these things. I don't want to miss out on all this great time we have together. I want to be with you guys. I said, but honey, look what you're doing. She goes, yeah, I don't want to miss out on Disneyland either. I don't want to miss out on my career and what I'm doing and what's going on. What's the problem? The problem is she's finding out what's negative in both situations. She's focusing on what she doesn't have instead of what she does have. Now, I could be negative about that and say, gosh, be more positive. But you know what? In reality, I realized being negative in this situation may not be bad. What do I mean? I don't mean being negative. I mean being intelligent. I mean being critical in your thinking. Seeing what you don't have is sometimes useful too. This is what I promised you in terms of the power of negative thinking. Here's how negative thinking can be useful. I sat down with her and I said, honey, I said, let's look at the advantages and disadvantages of both. Let's not just be positive. Let's look at it. The whole thing is positive. Let's know that no matter what you choose, you've won. You have what most people dream about. But for a moment, let's be a little bit critical. What do you love about Disneyland? What's great about it? What is it giving you? And let's ask the question that maybe we don't ask very times when we're just being purely positive. What isn't it giving you? What are you afraid about? What are you missing by being there? What's great about being at home more? What's great about those things? What's not great about that? Be honest, if you were there, what might happen that's not good? What might you miss out on? And you know what? By getting her to use both positive and negative thinking, or to be more accurate, positive thinking and some critical thinking, looking at what isn't there for the moment, what she is missing out on, and allowing that pain to motivate her, she was able to clarify what's most important in her life and what's the best way to do that. And she came up with a plan that totally empowered her. After a couple hours of conversation and fun, she looks better than she has in about 6 months because she's finally resolved what's most important. And sometimes just being positive and keeping a stiff upper lip isn't enough. Sometimes you got to stop and say, I am positive. I'm going to approach this from a positive way. I'm going to stay in a positive state. But I'm going to ask some questions some people may think of as negative, which is, what isn't working? Because if you're not willing to look at what isn't working, you can get yourself in trouble. So when I say number three is develop the habit of noticing something you can appreciate out of the situation, even something that seems to be negative. What I mean by that is find out what's working, but also appreciate what isn't working. Appreciate it enough that maybe it creates enough pain for you to want to make a change. Hey, being purely positive all the time is not the ultimate solution. Being purely positive 98% of the time to me is the solution. Remember our steps. Number one, you're going to focus on how it really is. And that's what we did today. Jolie and I sat down and said, let's see how it really is. And let's not just be positive. Let's stop for a second. How is it really? What's good? What isn't good? What's great? What isn't great in this context? Everything is great, but comparatively, what's great? What's not in both situations? Now, how do you really want it? And she decided how she wanted it. Now, what are we going to do to make that happen? And she began to take actions that have changed her life. Probably will affect the direction of her life, maybe even her career. And she feels joyous and excited because she went through the steps. That's the balance between positive and negative thinking. But one thing you got to remember, you're going to spend most of your time being positive. Once you see how it is, that's it. Decide what you want and make it happen. Don't keep going back and saying, oh yeah, but it's not working. See, balance doesn't mean you spend 50% of your time positive and 50% of your time negative. Remember, balance on a human scale is a little different. Negative experiences are dense, and it doesn't take a lot of those focuses of negative to weigh a lot in your life. Make sure your focus is primarily positive, but at times, at special times that you designate, you're going to say, hey, what isn't working? And allow that pain to drive you to do something that's very positive. That'll change your life. Here's key number four. Decide not to be perfect. You say, what? I said, decide not to be perfect. One way to make sure you're negative is always trying to be perfect. Because you know what? You're always going to notice you're not, because you're this thing called a human being. When I talk to my daughter, Jolie, I mean, this girl works so hard to be perfect. Everybody seems to love her. She's a straight-A student. She wants to be the very best at school. She wants to be the very best at home. She wants to be the very best at Disney. She wants to be the best at everything. And I'm trying to be the best constantly. In the past, she always noticed what wasn't perfect, and that created pain. So you can't do that. You're going to screw up. You're going to be negative. Things are going to happen where you don't follow through on what you know. You're going to make poor decisions. You're going to say things you shouldn't say, do things you shouldn't do, mess up like you shouldn't mess up. But you know what? When that happens, instead of being negative and beating yourself up and saying, boy, here's another example of me sabotaging myself, decide what you do want. And say, you know, I'm not perfect, but I am good. And what makes me good and what makes me great and what can make me excellent is as soon as I notice I'm not on track, I correct it and I get better. Your goal each day is to get better, not to be perfect. And that's all anyone can ask of you. If every day you really try and contribute more, be more, and do more than you were slightly the day before, that's all anybody can ask. And if you know you're going to screw up and you don't make it a catastrophe, it's easier to bounce right back up. See, the only way you fail is if you quit. But if you learn something and you expand from it and you make some new decisions that enhance your life and the people you care about, then there is no failure. Don't try to be perfect because you'll never succeed. And here's the final one, key number 5. Decide to develop the habit of using the F word, faith. Make sure that you're in the position of utilizing the tool that really positive thinking is about. Positive thinking, I've said it over and over again, really is just the power to believe. And as you believe, so is it done unto you. As you believe, so it's created. You need to make certain that you create that certainty inside yourself. And you know what? You and I both know there are going to be times when it looks grim. And the only power you really have is that power to have faith. To step forth and say, I'm going to put myself on the line. I'm going to have the courage to overcome my fears and to take action, even though it may not work out. Even though I may put out my love and it may not be reciprocated, I'm still going to put myself on the line. Because if I don't, that's the only way I can fail. See, without faith, nothing exists. The woman I told you about earlier said, well, I can't have faith because what if I go out there and I love my husband and I give him 100% and then he leaves me? What if that happens? I said, what if you never love him 100% and you never get to experience that joy in the first place? I said, besides that, how will you feel while you're loving him? She said, pretty good. She goes, but how can I trust that? I can't trust. I just can't because every time I trust, I get hurt in life. I said, every time? Well, every time up until now. I said, let me ask you a question. Do you know how to drive down a highway? Can you drive from your home down a mountain highway? Can you do that? Like if it's a single lane highway? She goes, of course. I said, well, how do you do that when all there is that little yellow line dividing you from the people coming 60 miles an hour right in your direction? You don't know those people. How do you know you can trust them? What's to keep them from coming over in your lane and killing you instantly? What's to prevent that from happening? She goes, well, nothing. I said, then how can you drive? How come you don't just stay home and say, bye? You know, if I go out there, I might get hurt. She goes, well, you just have to have faith. I said, no kidding. See, you couldn't drive from where you are to where you want to go without faith. You better remember the power of positive thinking is really the power to have faith, the power to do everything you know. And by the way, that doesn't just mean that you just sit down and say, well, if it's meant to be, then it'll just happen. No, what it means is you see things as they are, you see it better than they are, you do everything you can physically to make things work. And there comes a point when you've done everything you can do, and then you got to stop being fearful, stop worrying, and have some faith. Because most of the things you've worried about in your life never came true anyway. You felt upset about it in advance. Have some faith, have some certainty, and you may discover that the faith of the mustard seed will be rewarded at a level you couldn't even believe. And remember one more thing. No matter how bad it seems, this too will pass. That you've made it this far. You've been through tough times. Times you didn't think you could pull it off. And you've made it. If you've made it through all the challenges of your past and your life still works, you still seem to be somewhat happy, you're still standing, as they say, then gosh darn it, you're successful. And you can make it through this too. It's the thing that'll pull you through. Faith is still the power. And I said there are 5 keys. Let me give you a 6th one. 6th one is utilize your negativity. It has power. He said, Tony, gosh, you got me confused. First you told me this is about negative thinking, then you told me all about positive thinking. What do you really mean? It's real simple. You want to make sure you come from certainty. You come from advantage. You focus on what you do have instead of what you don't have. But periodically, you should cleanse your system of any negativity that's building up. And I'll give you 5 ways to do it quickly. And this is your assignment for the month. And I'm out of here until I talk to you on the next tape. Here's step number 1. Get out your journal or some writing materials, and I want you to take a good 20 minutes, And all I want you to do is write down everything that's working in your life. See, it's hard to be positive if you haven't focused on what's great in your life in a while. Sit down and say, what's great in my life? What are the advantages? What am I happy about? And make a long list of everything. There's a book out right now I just saw. It says, all the things that make me happy. And you turn each page and it has things like something as basic as smelling a rose, watching a sunset, and chewing on a piece of ice. Make a list of all the great things in your life, all the things that could make you happy if you wanted them to. And come up with a huge list so you got some references to pull from so you can be more positive. What is great? Here's step two. What's not great in your life? Use the power of negative thinking. Get it out of your system. What's not great? What do you want to change in your life? So the things I don't like in my life, the things I want to change now are the following. And make a list. And don't get negative about it. Get excited, because identifying that is just seeing how it is. You're going to see what's great about how it is. You're going to see what's not so great about how it is. Step three, describe how you want it. Step three is describe how you want things. What do you want your life to be like now? What do you want it to be like 12 months from now? Emotionally, socially, spiritually, intellectually. Envision how you really want it to be, starting tomorrow and between now and the next 12 months. Step four, come up with a plan. Now, I say come up with a plan, you might say, Tony, I don't know where to start. Well, the way to start is pick your top three or four goals out of that list. Top three or four things that are most important to you. And just ask yourself, what are a couple things I could do right away to start moving me in that direction? Maybe it's picking up the phone and calling a friend who can help you to make it work. Maybe it's going to meet with somebody. Maybe it's going to the library and checking out a book. Maybe it's listening to a tape. But come up with a couple of simple steps to get things started. Step five. What I want you to do then is utilize the power of negative thinking at the highest level. And listen carefully. Here's how it works. You'll like this. What I want you to do is instead of just trying to be positive, I want you to be negative in a positive way. Did you hear that? I want you to be negative in a positive way. Here's how it works. I use it in seminars and it's a lot of fun. What I have people do very often after they set their goals and they're all excited and they go, yeah, I'm going to make this happen. I go, great, stand up. And what I want you to do is I want you to tell the person next to you for the next 3 minutes all the reasons why you will not get your goals. And people look dumbfounded at first. They go, what? You mean how? Why I'm going to get it, right? And I say, no. I want you to tell them all the reasons why you will not get your goals, but here's how I want you to do it. I want you to do it standing tall with a huge grin on your face. I want you to be smiling, have some laughter in your voice, and I want you to go for it with more energy and more enthusiasm and more excitement. I want you to excitedly, enthusiastically, with a huge grin on your face, tell this person all the reasons why you won't get your goals. And I said, the person who's listening, I want you to be a cheerleader for them. I want you to clap. I want you to say, why else won't it work? Yeah, that's great. Why else won't it work? It's hysterical. People's brains fry. They get up and go, I'll tell you why I won't, because I'll sabotage myself. Just when it gets going, I'll screw it up really again. And they put a big grin on their face and they start to laugh at themselves. And you know what else? And you know, there'll be an earthquake and the earthquake will destroy everything and then nothing will work and I won't even know how to turn things around. And they go on and on. You know what they do? They run out of steam within about a minute. I said, come on, there's got to be more negativity. Why else won't it work? Why else? And we make them go 3, 4, 5 minutes. I want you to do this with a friend. Say, listen, I'm going to do this dumb exercise. And what I want you to do is I want you to cheer me on. I want you to make sure I'm smiling the whole time and I stay in an up, happy state and I'm excited. I'm going to tell you all the reasons why I won't get my goals. I really don't believe this, but I got to say this because it's my assignment. What will happen is by the time you've done this for 2 or 3 minutes, you'll be cracking up. And the next time your brain starts to go, well, what if this happens? You'll start to laugh because you've already thought of it and you've linked positive feelings to a negative state. In other words, you've utilized the power of negative thinking, not to destroy, but to create. You're taking negative thinking in a positive format to change your life. Try it. Make sure you sit down and write down all the things that are working. Write down what's not working. So you're seeing how it really is, the good and the bad and the indifferent. Three, describe how you really want it. Four, come up with a plan. And then five, get up and tell all the reasons why it won't work. When you get that out of your system, you're going to find yourself clear and excited and focused on how to make your life work. Remember what we've talked about here. The power of negativity is the power to destroy. It destroys dreams, opportunities, and it stops the journey before it begins. It's the terminator of triumph. You want to triumph? You want to change your life? Do the most basic thing we've heard about since the earliest day. Think positive. How? Ask yourself better questions. What could I do to use this? How could I turn this around? How could I make this my advantage? Questions are still your power. Do your assignment. Have some fun. And take on that 7-day challenge. That's the final assignment. Make sure that for the next 7 days, if you decide to take on the challenge, not one negative thought you give any feeling to, not one negative statement. As soon as you say something or think something, let go of it and focus on the positive for 7 straight days consecutively. Don't use phrases like, I hate blank. So if you say, I hate that person, I hate the situation, I hate when this thing happens to me. What you need to say instead is, I prefer. See, when you say I hate, you intensify your emotion. If you talk about preferring, you're not making so much of a judgment as you are focusing on things you like even better. You're not being negative, you're being quite positive in your focus. Lastly, don't fall in the trap of always being quote-unquote realistic. Tell me a great achiever that was always realistic. Columbus wasn't realistic. Leah Iacocca's not realistic. Anybody you know is successful is not realistic. If you're realistic, what that really means is you're looking at the worst possible scenario and living your life by that. Every great achiever, every great success, anybody who's ever made a difference in the world has been realistic. They decided on a plan, and then they went beyond what other people thought was realistic. They expanded the world of what was real and what was possible. Don't fall in the trap of saying, well, I'm just being realistic, when you're really being negative. Life is a balance, but don't allow that balance to take you to a point that your life is limited. And have the courage to overcome your fears. Realize if you're being negative, what you're really being is fearful. Overcome your fears and utilize your spiritual muscles called faith. It's your ultimate power. Now, let's meet a man whose faith helped him to develop a science of success that has helped millions of people for more than half a century, Napoleon Hill. And remember this month, live with power.